Because we live in a Puritan police state, we are obliged to inform you that we may sometimes use explicit language. Now that you've been informed, things are about to get weird.
Hey friends, welcome to What I Had Heard Was. I am Jennifer.
And I'm Anna. And today on this episode, we are talking about a topic that is super dear to my heart, which is comics. And we have with us, I'm so excited, is our cousin Peter Buser, who is actually the person who led me down the path to one of my favorite authors and comic book icons. So thank you so much, Peter, for being here today and leading me astray, I guess.
It wasn't astray, really.
Yeah.
Hi.
So welcome, Peter.
Oh, I think I know that you're talking about Neil Gaiman.
Yes! You are correct. So, whenever I have any comic book questions or find something good, I always think about you, go to you for advice and whatnot. So I was just curious if you could impart with our listeners your origin story or what got you into comics.
So I think like a lot of kids, older kids or even adults might have tossed me comic books when I was little back in the day. And of course, they're fun because they're colorful and superheroes. You don't really understand if there's a deeper story behind them or not. And my parents just wanted me to read no matter what, so they appreciated that. But it was what really got me into it was actually my godfather, Lonnie Willis, who is a college professor at Boise State University. And he would get me some comics that we would kind of talk about a little bit more in depth. And then my dad would do that as well. And these were more of what at the time would be labeled mature readers, but I might have been 10 years old or so. And so they would really kind of lead me through what we were reading. That was actually Watchmen, Hard Boiled, a few different ones like that by the big name writers, Frank Miller, Alan Moore, and so forth.
You were reading Watchmen at age 10?
What year did Watchmen? Maybe I was 11, but yeah. I didn't know what a Rorschach test was, but my dad did that with the mask and so forth. And like I said, I didn't get the deeper meanings that you don't get at that sort of an age. You got to keep rereading it. I reread Watchmen every couple of years and was amazed by the TV show last year as well from HBO. But
that was good. I know about that.
It was phenomenal. But really, yeah, it would have been Lonnie and my dad that got me into them to the point where then I would start to read more of the history of older comics and start eventually branching out and finding that there was more than just superheroes or superheroes at a different level of thinking, I would say.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of the writing in it, that's the thing a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, the story arcs and the writing and the character development are just amazing in a lot of these different comics. And so many people, I think recently as we are growing up and we are now the old people, you know, we understand that there's more to comics because with all of the animation that's on, you know, primetime television, that kind of stuff. But I know us growing up, comics were always like, oh, that's a kid's thing. You're going to rot your brain. You know, why are you wasting your time on that? And
I was lucky I never had that sort of pushback like a lot of people really still do, even to this day, in fact. But I was reading all the superheroes, The Death of Superman. I loved Batman, X-Men.
Yeah.
I did a high school report about the X-Men and stuff like that. But even I would even say now there's still a lack of understanding or differentiation between comic books and superheroes. And that is something that I, to this day, anybody who ask me about comics because they know I like comics and really get into them, that I try to make that distinction. I think even in pop culture with movies, everybody says, oh, comic book movies make all this money. Well, yeah, superhero movies normally do, but there's tons of other comic book movies or movies based on comics that people don't realize, whether you're talking Tom Hanks in Road to Perdition, mm-hmm. which is a 1940s gangster movie, but it's based off of a comic book, to Watchmen, which is technically about superheroes, but more about Russia versus the United States and the Cold War, if anything. So there's so much to learn, and you have to even tell people right up front that there's a difference, and yet at the same time, both can be super entertaining.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, there's all different kinds of genres. There's the graphic novels. There's the anime, the manga mm-hmm. from Japan that's super popular. There's the comic strips, comic books, as well as, well, I already said graphic novels. So right back around to that.
It's all cyclical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so you were talking about movies from comic books. The one that popped in my mind was Alan Moore's From Hell.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
Which is about Jack the Ripper. And so Alan Moore, in his extensive research, like the backstory that this guy puts into all of his characters, all of his worlds, the footnotes and the actual historical research that he's done is, I would say, bigger than the actual storyline and comics of, you know, the visual artwork.
It's like education.
Right, yeah, it's like the appendix you need to read to figure all this out. But they made that into a movie, which, honestly, I thought the movie was kind of crap. But I'm sure people can fight me on that. It's with Johnny Depp.
Most people agree, actually.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but it wasn't great.
Which just hurts my heart, because the book is so good. You know? It's just...
That's a whole nother discussion about Alan Moore and pop culture and his works being sold off, to say the least. But, yeah, that's a whole podcast in itself, possibly, actually.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, and so, somehow I missed it, but, apparently he's retired.
So, he's retired. Whether he's practicing his own forms of magic now or not, nobody really knows. But he had actually quasi-retired like at least 5 years ago, and he dropped the big two, Marvel and DC, a long time ago. But even in the past couple of years, he'd actually been writing a small press comic, doing random stories that are super interesting, and I would recommend you check him out. From Avatar Press, it was a comic called Cinema Purgatorio, and it was a collection. There would be four stories in each issue, one by him, and then three by other really good writers, Garth Ennis, Kieran Gillen, Max Berry, just to name a few, and they would go issue to issue. But Alan Moore's actually were very interesting and deserve a reread, because they take place in this weird movie theater / movie history, or the cinema of history, but with a horror aspect. It's hard to describe. A lot of it takes place in actual movie theaters too.
Honestly, I'm going to totally look that up once we are done talking, because it's very intriguing, and I just think he's brilliant, so.
Oh, I think you'll dig his parts of the stories, and I think you'll really dig the other ones as well, that have everything, stories from weird gaming sort of futuristic CG, computer-generated gamers in their own virtual world that intersperses with the real world, to kaiju creatures that are used in wars across the world, where the kaijus bond with who finds them. Those are just a few. Oh, yeah, there's the Civil War story but it's actually Civil War, the North and South uniting against giant ant creatures like from It, or they, was it They Live or Them, whatever the...
Oh, yeah, Them.
Yeah, but versus Civil War era battles. So lots of crazy stuff, to say the least, in this comic. I would definitely check it out.
So it's like a sci-fi history kind of crossover. Like a,
yeah.
What was it?
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
That's it. That's what it, why you,
Vampire Hunter, I think.
You're like reading my brain pan.
I love that movie for that reason.
Yeah, a crazy, crazy comic. And Alan Moore's is the first story in each issue. So as far as him being retired, I think for the most part, yes. But I think Avatar Comics, they're friends with him. Like, their publisher is friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime he feels the need that he wants to put out a comic, that's kind of where it comes from.
Can we take a moment to just acknowledge the fact that I said Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer?
And it was valid, and it was like an...
It was okay? No,
yeah.
That is not okay.
Why is that not...
It's not Buffy.
Well, yeah, but nobody's Buffy.
Right. He's a hunter.
Unfortunately. I think a lot of people would like to be Buffy, so...
That's very true.
Pass.
Personally, I'm going to be Giles, but... So, one of the reasons... I was reading about one of the reasons why Alan Moore said he was retiring... was because comics have become more for the middle class that they used to be when he first started, you know, the equivalent to Pulp Fiction, you know, these dime store, cheap read. They were in gas stations and convenience stores and readily available. But now it's like everybody wants, like, graphic novels and the super special secret edition and everything hardbound, and you have to go to specific comic book shops or online or, you know, specialty stores to find them now. And so he's like, well, it used to be cool because it was cheap, it was easy, it was accessible to the common man, and it was kind of vulgar. Like, you could get away with doing, like, crazy stuff. But now he's like, I don't know, I feel like part of it's like, yeah, you're being the working man hero, good for you, you know, stick it to the bourgeoisie. But the other part of me is like, well, he's also acting like, I was doing it before it was cool. So
I agree with a lot of what he says about the comic industry, for sure. And maybe even that to a little bit of an extent. But to that point, yes, comic books now, you really have to go to comic stores to find them. What's called the direct market. And that's not necessarily just because of the way comics are sold. It is because outside of DC and Marvel, the big two, there are tons and tons of publishers that are never going to be able to put it on the rack at the 7-Eleven. And Marvel and DC found out a long time ago that they don't sell that much when they just put them on regular racks either, which makes it hard to get into when it comes to comic collecting in the modern age. But at the same time, Marvel and DC, they've started selling their comics in special editions in Walmarts, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they release, DC started this last year, releasing kind of thick comics, so not a graphic novel, still a paper comic, but extra bulky, that has reprinted stories from popular Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, even maybe not popular Swamp Thing runs, but then would get new stories added in that weren't even released in comics to the comic stores. So we're trying to do that. Of course, all the collectors that go to the comic stores got pissed, and DC had to then start putting those together to sell them in comic stores as well. But like, the Walmart ones are actually super collectible because they're worth a ton. Because the employees at Walmart would just throw them in. They'd get trashed for the most part and eventually get thrown out if people didn't buy them. So they're actually hard to find, which is almost like the snake eating its own tail of popularity in comic books and making it hard to find. But I would also say, as far as middle of the road, to Alan Moore's point, is that there's more going on with comics now than probably ever did in his childhood, back when he was growing up. Yeah, there was EC Comics, which I love and love tracking those down. And there was mystery and thrillers and horror comics. We get all those now. Then there was romance comics, so maybe we don't get those as much now, but we get a huge variety. And actually, when I looked over your email about things to discuss, even before that, actually, one thing that I always bring up when I'm having a conversation about comic books with people is that I guarantee I could find a comic book for everybody out there if I know what they're interested in. And I think that back in the day, that would not have been possible, actually. I hook people on comics all the time that wouldn't normally get hooked on comics because it's not just all superheroes.
So for a 35 to 45-year-old female range, what would you suggest? That's our demographic here.
I would say I need more of it pared down.
No way, that's all you get.
Well...
Don't lose the game.
I'm going back to Neil Gaiman. I'm not going to go to his old story about saying that Sandman is the world's first sexually transmitted comic book. But there's definitely comics out there for someone in that age range. And I don't want to go easy and say just a random Vertigo comic either. I would say Saga is a great one for anybody to get into. It's a science fiction comic book, but I think anybody would love it, even in that age range, male or female.
What is the best comic book about penguins?
Pingu?
Is that one?
It's a claymation anime.
Close enough.
It's a French claymation children's... Celebrate.
Any answer would have done. I'm impressed you found one.
I don't know that, but I would have said from the 80s, the black and white one that came out after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles called Samurai Penguin. Actually, I don't know if it's ever been collected, so you have to track down single issues, and because it was small print, thrones are actually expensive now.
That's so, okay. At least it exists.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a golden ticket to chase, so that can be yours, Jennifer.
That's what I'll do. Yeah. Spend my life.
Ah, the 90s, when everything was a ninja, and that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Living in the sewers.
And pizza, cowabunga, so.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Go ninja, go ninja, go.
I saw Vanilla Ice on his I Love the 90s tour. A few years back, and he sang that song, and the folks that I were with were like squealing like they were 12 years old, and it was glorious.
He's got bills to pay.
You know, sometimes your heater breaks and you just gotta replace that shit.
You gotta go ninja, go ninja, go.
If anything, yeah.
That's what I did when our water heater went out.
I mean, I hope that if my water heater goes out, that I could sell some comics to pay for that, maybe, instead of going into credit card debt. So
I just offered my ninja services, and that's how I paid for it.
Oh, yes. If you don't have those skills, I would do that. So,
you know who else has ninja skills? Our sponsor.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a lot of weird theater stuff that needs a new home, and you prefer it doesn't just go into the dumpster? Reset likes the weird stuff. With ResetYourSet.com, you can find listings to buy, sell, and rent items that folks in the industry will truly appreciate. Go find them on Instagram, Facebook, at ResetYourSet, and check out the site that offers so much more. ResetYourSet.com.
So for folks who don't know as much about comics as you and I, do the people who write them also draw them, or are there teams? How does that all work?
When it comes to the actual creation of a comic book, you can get really in the weeds and realize that there is a huge team involved, not just the writer or the artist. A lot of times the writer and artist can be the same person, definitely. Most of the comic books that I read or really love the most, I get behind the writer, and that's, I'm always looking for the story. If the art is really bad, it doesn't matter how good the story is, I'm not going to read it. But if the art is at least decent, and the story is really good, that's what's going to get me into it. Now, in the past, if you go back a long ways, Stan Lee had what was called the Marvel Way when it came to writing scripts, and artists were separate and considered their own little thing, and they just had to put down what the writer did. But everybody knows that he worked a lot with Jack Kirby, and so when everybody talks about all the Marvel superheroes that were created, Jack Kirby had a huge hand in tons of them, and he left Marvel to go to DC and not just be the artist for Stan Lee, but to create and write his own comics and draw them. And so, not saying that he is the originator of that, because a lot of other people did it, but he's maybe the most well-known, yet at the same time least well-known, that he's the one who had all this input. And so a lot of comic books that I've gotten into in the past 25 years, those artists then became really good writers in their own right. Maybe they had it in them the whole time, and they were pushed down by the companies to only draw what the writers were giving them. But going back to the Watchmen example, everybody knows Alan Moore, but Dave Gibbons, who drew it, is a great writer in his own right and has done a lot of comics that he's written and drawn. And there's lots and lots of other people that I could look to towards that example. The deeper aspect, though, you mentioned about who all goes into. A lot of people nowadays try in comic critiques or reviews will mention, or at least definitely discuss, colorists, because that's not always necessarily the artist as well. They'll discuss the person who letters the comic, because that's its own art in itself. I think that editors are super important when it comes to comic books, whether you're talking about those big two again, or even a smaller quote-unquote publisher such as Image or Dark Horse, or even the really indie ones that people haven't even heard about, you need a really good editor as well. So there's a very big team that goes into any comic book, in my opinion.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's the same with like a lot of artistic art forms. You know, it's like you see the actor up on the screen, and yes, they're important, but, you know, and the director gets the accolades for, you know, making the film, but they're just the tip of this massive iceberg of what it takes to create that thing.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I just recently found out that Umbrella Academy and Mandalorian are graphic novels, but do they have Star Wars?
Oh, there's been Star Wars comics and graphic novels since the first movie came out in 1977.
But for them, the movie was first, and then so, the comics yes. came after.
That's right. While the reverse is true for Umbrella Academy, was Gerard Way created that with some really great artists who I'm fans of, and they've continued it, and then it became the Netflix show, which I think is awesome as well. And so there's cross-pollination when it comes to which came first, the comic book or the movie or the TV show. There's a lot of interplay, which is great, because when I mentioned that I've been really getting more out of comic books during the pandemic, for example, I started revisiting Star Wars comics that I hadn't read in a long time. I collected those in the 80s and 90s and kind of stopped in the early 2000s. But then Marvel bought all of the Star Wars rights and everything about, was it 7 years ago or so? And not Marvel, I guess, technically Disney, but Marvel is owned by Disney as well. And they started making new Star Wars comics when in the past, for a long time, Star Wars had been handled by Dark Horse, a different publisher. But Marvel released so many Star Wars comics so fast that I was like, I don't want to try to keep up with this. Well, had a lot of time on my hands the past 9 months, and some of those Star Wars ones were really, really good. So I started getting back into those and trying to pick up what I thought would be interesting. And then all of a sudden, Mandalorian is bringing in characters from all these different Marvel Star Wars comics. and I guess, do we need to spoil anything or not with The Mandalorian?
Oh, but... we can't yet. Yeah. It was too good. I don't want to take that away from anyone.
Okay. Well,
we don't want to be those guys.
There's tons of characters that have been in this new season of The Mandalorian that first appeared in the comic books or in the Clone Wars animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And those characters in their first appearances in the Marvel books are now selling for hundreds of dollars.
So the two big questions are you Team Baby Yoda or Team Grogu?
Oh, I'm totally Team Grogu, and I will send you a picture of Grogu and I after this.
Perfect. And the second question is, do you believe that Ewoks are superior to all other Star Wars characters?
I do not, just
Excuse
because...
Me?
They, I mean, it's a very philosophical question, because Ewoks believe in cannibalism, which I'm not a fan of.
Why? And,
well, that
wait. Are you asking him why he's not a fan of cannibalism?
Yes.
Or why are Ewoks cannibals? Which why are you asking?
Why he's not a fan of cannibalism.
Oh, okay. Just clarify.
I've got a great recipe book I can send to you.
Okay. I mean, maybe it goes to that whole eat the heart of your enemy thing. And
yeah, I drink the blood of my enemies every morning.
Yeah, see? And I'm not a pacifist per se, but... I don't know if I would go that far necessarily either, so, I mean...
I will drink the blood of your enemies for you. I will be that stand-in.
Ah, I'm going to put that in my back pocket if I ever need it. Thank you.
There you go.
I don't think anybody should be drinking anybody's blood right now in a pandemic, but...
I don't know that it's transferred that way.
I figure if you can sneeze on me and I'll get it.
Like, don't sneeze directly into my mouth.
I shouldn't be drinking your blood.
I think if you're drinking or eating it, that's when they say it, that your digestive system takes care of it. That's why it's not transmitted by food, which we would technically here. So.
Yeah.
Science. So. All right, great.
Eating human flesh does cause something. I can't even remember what it is. It's not a good idea. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It'll give you scurvy.
Whatever it is. It'll give you an STD. Don't do it.
Exactly. Just like the Sandman, Neil Gaiman. Whew, bringing it back.
It all comes back to Neil. So I have to go back to the fact that you just said a comic book that came out 5 years ago is now worth $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Collectibles. Collecting comics. Everybody has a story. Their dad has a story, uncle, whatever, of, you know, oh, my grandma threw out my comic book collection, and that could have, you know, sent you to college and bought you a new car and all this stuff.
Fuck you, Grandma.
She was a lovely woman. She was a saint. Take her out for a nice steak dinner.
Lovely lady.
Dorothy Tooth was a saint.
Exactly. Yes. 70% of the time, that joke works every time.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So what is it with people who like comic books and collecting them, like the mint editions? Like, why do you think it's so imbued with this nerddom?
So I would first say it's not necessarily just comic books. I think a collector mentality can be almost on anything, because there's people that collect action figures or trading cards or antiques, or books and first edition books from Jane Eyre. I mean, I think that's its own mindset, is the collectible aspect. Finding what you like to collect is its own thing as well. One of my friends collects vinyl records and has thousands of them.
I collect Ewoks.
You collect Ewoks. My mom collects pigs. She likes little toy pigs and stuff.
Anna collects a piglet.
Well, my dog sounds like a piglet. That's pretty much it.
So, I mean, I think the collectible mindset is its own thing. But when it comes to comic books, I think also, and I don't necessarily fit into this because I like it being open to everybody, but having been on chat boards in the last 20 years or talking with people at a comic shop, even people that are really focused on comics and collecting, it seems also like it's a very insular thing that, and maybe it's a broad generalization, but it's their thing. It's something that they know a ton about, and that they can be experts on.
A lot of gatekeeping going on.
There's definitely been tons of gatekeeping, and it's a bad thing about comics because it should be open to everybody. My friends, at least, I've made a ton of friends through social media who are great about not gatekeeping. And so maybe I run with the right crowd. I don't like to gatekeep. Like I said, I think there's a comic book out there for everybody. I'm not going to get pissed if someone doesn't like the same comic that I do either. But I think that maybe it's also that a lot of these people maybe were not downtrodden necessarily, but weren't as respected, or people didn't like what they liked in high school or grade school or junior high or whatever. And one thing that I kind of try to open people's eyes to on the gatekeeping side is, you do this gatekeeping and you have to be the expert on all things X-Men related, which is great. You know a ton about X-Men. But think back to your days when you were growing up, and maybe you were picked on for liking the X-Men or whatnot. And there's people then who maybe are trying to get into it now. Wouldn't it be better if you could help them get into that instead of continuing that cycle of making fun of people who are different or don't like the same thing? Because there's tons of people who are into sports in grade school, junior high, and high school who know a ton about it. And I almost liken it to the same thing. They know a ton about their favorite topic. You know a ton about your favorite topic.
Right. Nobody knows everything. And that's a good point.
Yeah. It's basically be the hero, you know, be the adult that you needed as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't be a jerk. Don't, you know, help another person out so they don't have to go through the same shit you did.
Right.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people who are getting picked on or who want to be more involved in the comic community but are finding
they're getting stonewalled?
Yeah. They need us to come kneecap some people.
I mean, I hope it doesn't get to that point, but it's always possible.
Well, we know somebody who'll drink the blood of your enemies, so there's that.
So I've heard.
I would have to think, and it can be tough because you might be in a small town in Nebraska and not have as much access to it, but you do have to sometimes make that effort to find the right people that might help with you. With social media, things like Twitter specifically, I would say that might be the best bet. My own experience, when I joined Twitter, I wasn't doing it because I was picked on or anything, but I had a couple friends, and so I was just on Twitter just to shoot the shit or whatnot. But I would start posting a little bit about comic books, and then I ended up finding other people who are into comic books, and I found people that really sucked when it came to comic books, so I didn't want to interact with, but I found a ton of people that were really great. And there are websites out there that cover comics in a totally open manner. Same with people in social media. And just like I said, that I can find a comic for everybody, I think there are other people you can talk to about comics you like, no matter where. And so you have to kind of do that work to find them, but they're definitely out there.
And ultimately, don't be the comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. That's
a great point. Yes.
For multiple reasons.
I mean, he is definitely the stereotype for a reason, because that's the way it kind of was in the 80s and into the 90s. And there's still shops like that nowadays, but those ones don't last as long anymore. I mean, the comic stores that I go to, if you felt weird going into them, I would straight up talk to the owners, because they would need to know, because they don't even think that they're that way. The comic shops that I like to go to here in Denver,
you want to give anybody a shout out in
Denver? Well,
I'll give a shout out. I think that they don't like to shut anybody down, because the whole point of owning a business is to be able to continue your life and actually sell comics. So you want to be open. So I Want More Comics here in Denver is one of them, and Time Warp Comics in Boulder. I think they're both two of the best comic stores out there that you could possibly go to. And I recommend them to anybody who, when I see online people say they're coming to Denver and want to go to a comic shop, I say go to these two spots, most definitely.
So I'll be planning a trip here soon, and then we can go to those shops.
If they got any links, we can put them up for you. Any links.
Oh, most definitely. And I'll even say this. I'm definitely friends with the owners of both of these stores. Time Warp was the first that when I moved out here 20 years ago that I went to, because I needed to have my own comic shop to hold comics for me, and became great friends with them. I don't live in Boulder any longer. I live in Denver. And so I Want More Comics was closer, but I became great friends with those guys as well. And both of them do a great job of being open to everybody, which I love. Time Warp, they work with CU Boulder, the University of Colorado, because there's actual classes that are taught using comics. So they get those in bulk to help get them to the students that'll be studying and reading them. I Want More Comics. They're always forward thinking. They started probably 2 years ago, a Facebook page, a stream that every Wednesday night they bring out new comic books or old comics and put them on sale, not bidding, but whoever puts in first gets it, and they talk it up, and they've created their own community, a new way to sell comics. And they will let anybody around the country join that and ship them to you. Or if you're here in Denver, go into the store to pick them up. So both in their own way are doing all this to open it up to more people, which is great.
So what do you think the future of comics is? You know, now that, you know, everybody's got an e-reader, you know, people are listening to more books, you know, bookstores themselves are, you know, starting to become dinosaurs. How do you think the future of comic books is going to look?
So,
it was beautiful. Eloquent.
It was so eloquent.
That was eloquent, if I may.
They're going to look like a store in a building. No.
It will endure. It'll be the one last bastion of in-store shopping.
Well, they definitely will endure, because people are always searching out comics because of how they see it and consume it in mass media and maybe not knowing about it. I mean, anytime a comic does well in mass media, it drives the people who are not readers of the comics to go find them, whether that was The Walking Dead, which the first issue of The Walking Dead, I think, sold 3,000 copies around the country. And that's been one of the most popular TV shows of this century now. And so that drove people to pick up all the graphic novels, the trades of that were released over and over. I mean, it's just printing money. And so
honestly, how many places, like how many compounds can The Walking Dead folks destroy before the story's over?
Oh yeah.
Like, well, I mean, watching like 6 seasons ago, and like, everywhere they go, it's like, oh, we've been here for 5 years. Oh, cool. The next 5 days, y'all screwed.
Yeah. I stopped watching The Walking Dead as well a while ago. But I read the comic from the first issue up until the last issue. So there's still more to come released for the TV show. I don't know where it really is at this point, but there's more to come for sure. And that could be with anything, though. I mean, Preacher was done also by AMC, which is one of my all-time favorite comic books. Sandman is going to come out next year.
Super excited about that.
And that's going to totally drive more people to go and check out the comics, the graphic novels, whatever you want to call them. And so I'm super excited as well. But that there's more and more. Ones that you don't expect. Umbrella Academy was never expected to become a TV show, but it's going to be continuing, and it's going to be great. Lock and Key by Joe Hill.
That was great, yeah.
And that they're working on season 2, and they already said season 3 is in the works. I mean, I don't think it's going to stop. I think that what's going to get really interesting is actually the graphic novels or comic books that aren't sold through the direct market of comic shops and aren't sold through the Walmarts. And what I mean by that is actually the number one selling graphic novel each of the past 3 years has actually been through Scholastic. Remember that in grade school?
Is it Captain Underpants? Please say it's Captain Underpants.
I don't think it's Underpants. Those definitely have sold a ton, but there's other graphic novels that are sold through Scholastic that blow away pretty much everything put out through the mass market of comic book stores. And that's going to have a greater impact. I mean, and you've mentioned manga, which is huge and not even kept in the same sort of category as graphic novels and comics that are not manga. But we're going to see more and more of both of those come to the forefront, too.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, the great thing I always liked about comics was the storyline is important. I'm not trying to... But if you don't know how to read or you don't know that language, you can still enjoy it and still find... you can still follow a storyline by just looking at the pictures. So it's a great way to introduce people into reading, to learning other languages. I actually would practice Japanese when I was taking that in college by reading mangas in Japanese, because it's like with context clues and what little information I had, etc. So I think that and pictograms and, you know, drawing stories on cave walls from, you know, when prehistoric times.
The OG graphic novel.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the original comic book, you know? So I think that the genre itself will continue indefinitely, but it'll be really interesting to see where it goes from here, because, you know, much like people who enjoy having a book in hand and reading a book, you know, there's something about having the paper.
Tactile type of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have it in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, that's part of my love of collecting comic books, is touching it, holding them, smelling them even. There's a very distinct news quality smell of comics, too, so I agree completely with that.
Were you one of the kids who got high off the Ditto machine when you were...
No.
I was.
White out, Sharpies.
I didn't have access to it, maybe.
Well, that's fair.
I was supervised sometimes.
I would say this to your point, though, about using it as a way to learn. That makes the most sense. That's why I'm always a fan of librarians and teachers that would rather have a kid read a comic than nothing, because, and same with parents, because that helps them. I would also say, to your point about reading the mangas, Anna, is that sometimes it can be intimidating for someone who's never read a comic to read it. And there's actually a way that you should best read a comic. You might not realize it until it's happening in your brain, but I highly recommend, there's a book called Understanding Comics.
Ah, I've read that. It's brilliant. Yes. Yeah. Anybody who has any sort of interest in comics, find this book.
Yeah. Scott McCloud is the writer and illustrator, and he lays out what you're actually seeing when you're reading it, how to read panels, whether left to right, right to left, diagonally, but what you're seeing with the colors, the way that word balloons are positioned and thought balloons. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So.
Yeah, it breaks down the psychology of why and the history of like sweat marks and the speed lines and, you know, stink lines, all that kind of stuff. It's really fascinating.
Yep.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Honestly, I could talk about this stuff all day long, but I don't know. Maybe we'll break it into a whole season off of into comics or something, because...
If you need a follow-up, I could definitely talk plenty more. We've cracked the surface here, so.
Excellent. So is there anything else you want to give anybody else a shout-out or talk about something that we've missed?
Hmm. Well, I can't think of any other shout-outs necessarily, except for visit your local comic store. Most of them are really great and will try to help you the way that I help people when it comes to, oh, what are you interested in or what are you looking for? I think that's what it really comes down to. And be on the lookout.
And if they don't do that, then give them terrible ratings on Yelp.
I mean, the place to scare kids or women away, it shouldn't be an insular, sweaty guy reading X-Men thing. Anybody can read X-Men. There's great X-Men for everybody out there.
Oh, heck yeah. I grew up on X... Well, grew up. In high school, I was a huge X-Men fan, and there was a local comic book shop in between my bus stop and home. It was Queen City Comics in Cincinnati. And guy's still there. He's still running same stuff. It's great. And you walk in and it's like a little bit of magic.
Ewok in? Is that what you said?
Ewok's in too.
Ewok, man.
I've been obsessed with Ewoks lately.
Well, they have their own comics. We'll get you a couple.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problems.
I thought of one last thing just based on all of what we've been talking about.
Sure.
And I always like to connect things back. My friends know that I have long ways to get back to the point of a story, kind of like my dad does. And going back to Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
It could change comics in the future, possibly, was what he did with The Sandman and Audible this year.
Release.
It's almost like a radio play. The first 18 issues of Sandman, and I look forward to hear more graphic novels that are acted out, like with actual actors doing the voice and a narrator, whether it's the actual author like Neil Gaiman did in this or someone else,
like the old radio shows.
I absolutely loved the Sandman Audible version, and I hope they do more of it. I think it's going to take a while, but I think it's a way to expand comic readership into a whole different medium too.
For sure. I didn't know that was even an option.
I've only ever done one book on Audible, and I got it for free, but I signed up so I could get it for Sandman, and it's insanely good.
I wouldn't, I don't think I'd use Audible unless they want to sponsor us, in which case
Audible's great.
I listen to all my graphic novels on Audible.
I think it's the only one that's ever been done. So I don't know if any others out there besides it, but it's pretty amazing.
I could listen to Neil Gaiman talk all day long. I like his voice. So
yeah. And he's the narrator for his own story. And then you've got all these big name actors and people that you've never heard of and theater actors from London all providing voiceovers for all these different crazy characters. Highly recommend, and I'm interested to see more of that happen with comics.
We have a final question we ask everybody.
Oh, okay.
All right. What is your guilty pleasure?
The way my brain works, is this related to comics or just anything in life?
Anything in life.
I have a lot. I just call them pleasures, though. And my current one is showing Grogu things in life that he's never seen before.
I can't wait to see these pictures.
Do you take pictures of them or do you just do it for yourself and then like chuckle about it and have like Hallmark moments and whatever? Like, do you document this or?
Well, at first I didn't, but I have started to document it. Grogu's first snow a couple days ago, he was not sure what to make of it.
Where do we see this? I don't. How come I'm not seeing this?
It's on his Instagram. I'll link you.
Okay. I'm pretty excited now.
I didn't use Instagram for the most part for quite a while, and then I signed up like a year or two ago and still never really did anything, but I've slowly started posting more there. And yes, my Grogu, he's not sure about snow even when I put a hat on him, so.
And he is adorable in his hat. I have seen this.
I feel really left out right now.
Well, then, we should go and hop on Instagram.
Thank you so much for coming on. We were thrilled. We are thrilled to have you here.
Oh, it's been great. Thank you.
And what I had heard was, we are out of time. We will see you next week.
Visit our website at WIHHW.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, see guest links and information, and some fancy extras. Also, check us out on Facebook at What I Had Heard Was, and Instagram at What I Had Heard. And if you really want to get something off your chest, shoot us an email at whatihadheardwas@gmail.com.